And every time the weather changes, my sinuses might do just about anything. Lord gave me grace this morning, and I don't want to worry his patience. And so the choir's done a marvelous job singing, and I'm going to use my time and voice for my little sermon so that if I run out, I want to run out on the gravy. I don't want to run out on the meat. There's a word for us in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26. Verses 27 through 29, Acts chapter 26, verses 27 through 29. I want to read this in your hearing. The Bible says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. From this text, I want to entitle this sermon, An Unsaved King. An unsaved king. What a marvelous little story in the Bible. Paul is detained for preaching the gospel in spite of the Jewish community and leaders being opposed. In our text, he finds himself before Festus and now King Agrippa, defending why is he in jail. Paul, preacher as he is, tries to persuade even the king. And the king says, some scholar says, in a mocking voice, are you a prisoner trying to convince me, a king, to be a Christian, especially in such a short amount of time? It dawned on me, here we have a man who has so much going for him. After all, he's a king. But yet, he's an unsaved king. As I thought about that text and prayed about this day, I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to come and talk to you about how there are many of you here today who are doing quite well for yourself, but if you're unsaved, there's still something terribly wrong with you. So what I wanted to push today was we should work on being saved kings and queens. We should work on being saved kings and queens. Perhaps I ought to say saved kings or queens. You can't be both. Amen. Get on one side of that. Or, I'm sorry. That was just a grammatical oversight. Or, kings or queens. Brethren, y'all try to be kings. Sisters, y'all try to be queens. I want to be clear. All right, let's talk about his kingship. Agrippa was a king. You see that right there in the text. We can make some assumptions about a king. You can assume that a king got a pocket full of money. A king. One may assume that he has at least some type of formal education. A king. At least had the status of being a king. There are people who would hush because the king just came in the room. There are others who would try to draw close, trying to gain favor from the king. The king had some power, for this King Agrippa was married to his sister, and that was wrong then as it is now. But because he was the king, people just mumbled under their breath instead of challenged him about the immorality of his relationship, King Agrippa. I suspect that there are those here today who are kings or queens in your own right. That is, you have been blessed above many of thousands. Some, and I know it's almost impolite to talk about it, and surely impolite to brag about it, but you know it's true. Some of you have more now than you ever thought you would have had in your life. If somebody would have interviewed you as a young child and asked, how much money would you have? What kind of education would you have? Where would you be living? How would things be in your life? You could not have described then what God has done for you today. I know you don't want to brag. I know you don't want to be boastful. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord has been good to many of us sitting up in here on today. And if by chance, things are not as well as you want them to be, your money is funny, bills are high, health is not right, things are really not where you want them to be, don't get too excited, because God is still able. If you're not a king or a queen now, you may be a king or a queen in the making. God is still able to take little boys who watch their daddy's sheep and turn them into men who become kings after his own heart, like David. If you find yourself lacking those things you would really like to have, you remember that the same God who took that girl Vashti, turned her into the queen under King Xerxes, that God is able to take you, no matter what your situation is, and turn you into a marvelous queen. Don't hate on those who got it like that, because God can bless you like that by this time tomorrow. He's able. I said he's able. In fact, I heard Jesus say in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible with God. Never sell yourself cheap. No matter where you live today, no matter how broke you are today, no matter how unpopular you are today, no matter what you're lacking today, in the hands of God, you can be anything God wants you to be by this time on tomorrow. Thank God for his ability to turn us into kings or queens. However, as you continue to think about King Agrippa, describe in as much detail as you would like all of his economics, all of his education, perhaps even his accomplishments. But if you be fair in describing and profiling King Agrippa, at some point you gotta say he was unsaved. He had not accepted Jesus as his savior by faith. That means that no matter whatever else he had going for him, his final destination was hell. Now, he may have been to some nice places on his way to hell, but the final destination was hell. And because he was unsaved, without even talking to the man, I can tell you, there was an emptiness somewhere in his spirit. No matter how many chariots he had, no matter how many soldiers he had, no matter how large his harem may have been, no matter how much wine may have been in his cellar, I know that without Jesus as savior of Agrippa's life, there was a restlessness in his spirit. And the reason I can be so strong about that is because I know that God has made all of us in such a way that we will never be perfectly satisfied until we get right with the Lord. Y'all gonna help me here? Listen, I know that the Lord has blessed many of us in here. But if you are not saved, there is something terribly wrong with your life. You can have a marvelous job. You can have a beautiful car. You can have a spacious home. Your family may be doing well. But if you are not saved, the preacher said, something is terribly wrong. Can I tell you what's wrong? Let me tell you this. When you die, and all of us gonna die, when you die, you are on your way to a place that is permanently hot and painful. It is permanently hot and painful. You don't know anything like this. All of the trouble that has come in your life has been temporary. All of the trouble that has come in your life has been temporary. It has either been a storm that has come and has gone, or it has been a season that has lasted for a while, but absolutely no trouble of your life has been permanent. Because in this life, trouble will one day leave you alone, or one day you gonna leave trouble alone. Death has a way of putting a period behind whatever we're going through here on this world. But hell, on the other occasion, is a permanent situation. I know from personal experience that cancer can be such a painful and torturous situation. But a marvelous thing about cancer is one day it comes to an end. Divorce can be painful, but one day it comes to an end. Sometimes your money can be funny and you can be so embarrassed by your finances, but one day it comes to an end. But hell never comes to an end. It's going to be hot today in hell. It's going to be hot tomorrow in hell. 10,000 years from now, it's going to be just as hot in hell as it is today. It burns and burns and burns and burns and never burns up. Hell is a terrible place. I don't care how unpopular it is to talk about hell. If you believe the Bible says hell is hot. And don't nobody want to go. But before you get to hell, you got some problems in your life if you're unsaved. And here I must slow down and demonstrate some sensitivity to the fact that you may not even be able to appreciate this part of the sermon right here. Because how can you miss something you've never experienced? We just came back from Carolina, and I cannot help but think about my grandfather, who was a sharecropper in his early years, and his dad, Solomon Baines, was born a slave and served down in Virginia. And as I go down there and see those large fields, I tell myself I could never be a slave. And the reason I can say I could never be a slave is because I've tasted freedom. But had I been born in that situation, I would not have known what I was missing, and I would have had to just go along with the situation. And so when I talk about this satisfaction that God provides, you really can't appreciate what I'm talking about if you've never experienced this satisfaction. So I'm not hopeful that I'm going to put this in your heart, But let me at least put it on your head. Let me at least put it in your mind. You and I, along with all humanity, have been created by God in such a way that there will always be a lack of satisfaction, restlessness, if you like, something wrong, if that's the way you want to describe it. There will always be something missing in us until we get right with God. Now, you may join Solomon in trying to fill this hole in your heart with other stuff. You remember Solomon? No, some of y'all don't remember Solomon. Let me tell you about Solomon. There's a book called Ecclesiastes in your Bible, and the man who writes this book, we believe, is Solomon. He was a king too, interesting enough. And Solomon seemed to have been trying to find something to make him satisfied. Feel fulfilled. Feel, Maslow would say, self-actualized. Feel as if he's living life to his fullest. And so King Solomon had the resources to go buy all the wine he wanted. And he drunk as much as he wanted. He drunk as much as he wanted. And he discovered that's vanity, that's meaningless. There's nothing to being drunk like a fish. He went on and said, I tell you what I'm going to do to fill this hole in my heart. I'm going to be an intellectual. I'm going to be an egghead. And so he read and he read and he read. And one day he woke up and said, this is nothing but vanity as well. Every time I read an opinion, there's a counter opinion, and the debate never ends. Vanity of vanity. Even my education is vanity. King kept on searching. He said, I tell you what, maybe it's in humor. And so he would go out and he would hire people to laugh. You know, when you got enough money, you can make people do crazy stuff. And so people would come in and they would laugh for the king and laugh for the king and laugh for the king. And the king said, listen, everybody stop laughing, because ain't nothing funny. Even laughing is vain. And y'all know the story. He goes through a number of gymnastics in his life, and then he finally comes to the conclusion. He says, let's hear the conclusion of this matter. What shall we do? We must fear God and keep his commandment, because everything else under the sun is vanity. I wish you could just take my word for it. But somebody's listening to me and saying, that's interesting, Reverend. And then you'll go out and you'll try to quench this thirst that only a long, cool drink of the Holy Spirit will quench. But you'll try to quench it with clothes. You'll try to quench it with the nice car, with the big house, being popular, wearing all of the name brands you can afford. And one day you'll wake up broke and say, Pastor was right. Can't nobody do us like the Lord. No matter what you have going for you, something is terribly wrong with you, whether you are conscious of it or not. You know, some people are sick. They just don't know they're sick right now. They have an undiagnosed sickness. And you may be sitting up here right now, not really understanding, not conscious of how unsatisfying your life really is. And then somebody's here saying, well, yes, I know it's unsatisfying now because my money not right. And you think that when you get your money right, as if that's ever going to happen, but when your money get right, then you think you're going to be satisfied. But there's folk with money in their front pockets and back pockets that's still not satisfied. Some people say, I know I'm not satisfied, but when I get the right man, I'm going to be satisfied. When I get the right woman, I'm going to be satisfied. But there are people who are married to people that could not be any better to them than they are, but they're still not satisfied. You think, well, I'll be satisfied when I finally get that job and get that office in the corner that I've been wanting all of these years. And then you finally get in the office, in the corner. You got the beautiful view. Your name is on the door and you're still not satisfied. You remember the preacher told you, can't nobody do you like the Lord. What was wrong with this man? Why didn't the king have enough sense to get saved? Is it possible that his status got in his way? You know, there are some people who can't hear the Lord when they got a loaf of bread under both arms. Think about your own experience. Many of us got saved in crises, not the classroom. It was not the preacher, it was the pain of our life that made us bow down and say, yes, Lord. It was not that the word made sense. Listen to that marvelous hymn of the church. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. The implication is I tried some other stuff. And none of that stuff worked. And so I'm stretching my hand to you because there's no other help that I know. It's normally in the pain of life that we learn how to pray. And maybe the king could not get with this Jesus stuff because things were too well in his life. Is that you? Do you have it too well in your life to hear the gospel right now? Do you have to be like others and you come to the Lord when you get broke? You come to the Lord when you're sick as a dog in the hospital and the doctor think you're going to die and you got 3 months to live, then you get good religion? Do you have to get locked up in order to meet Jesus? Do you have to lose your job, lose your house, lose your car, all these bad things? Does life have to fall in on you for you to hear what the preacher trying to get you to see? Are things too well for you to hear the Lord? Or maybe Agrippa's issue was he could not hear the gospel of liberation from a prisoner. Where is Paul? Paul is under arrest. How does somebody who's under arrest talk about how the Lord can set you free? What's wrong with this picture? If we were there, we would have said, prisoner Paul, why doesn't the Lord get you out of jail? The prisoner talks to the king. The prison dweller talks to the palace dweller as if he has something to tell the king. Is this you? Are you the one that says, well, that preacher can't tell me nothing. He ain't nothing but a pimp anyway. Y'all know y'all done heard it. Some of y'all said it. Talk about, ooh, that's so nasty. Yeah. But some say, I can't hear the word. There's too many hypocrites around. I can't hear the word because of the people and their glaring sins. I can't hear the word because of the messenger. Well, you got a couple of problems on your hands because you can't even read the Bible without running into a sinner. I mean, every letter in the Bible was penned by a sinner. Even your red letters were penned by a sinner. Jesus didn't pick up a pen and write anything in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told you what Jesus said. So if you are just so repulsed by a sinner, you don't even have a Bible that you can read. But isn't it strange how the messenger of God's word got to be perfect so you can hear the independent word, but yet you will receive a check from a mail carrier no matter what they look like? Somebody ought to help me here. You wouldn't look at the mail carrier and see his uniform all wrinkled and spots and stains all over his uniform and say, I don't want no check from you because you don't look like a mail carrier ought to look. You would take the check and say, that was a messed up looking mail carrier on your way to the bank with the check. The word of God stands on God, not the preacher. The word of God is true anyhow. Yes, the preacher ought to live right. Yes, the witness ought to live right. Yes, you ought to live right. But even when we're wrong, the word is still right. That's why the word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. The word is not always the preacher, not always the church, but the word is right. Or was Agrippa's problem that he thought he had time? The king Agrippa said, well, I'm a young man or a middle-aged man, and so I got time. I might come back around to this Jesus stuff, but right now, let's just let the good times roll. Is this where you are? Did you come here today as a favor to somebody who nagged you enough to finally get you to church, but you're really not into all this Jesus stuff? Maybe down the road when I get older, when I slow down, but right now, Reb, come on, man, I'm a young man. I gotta make it pop. I gotta make it roll. Come on, Pastor, I know about that Jesus stuff down the road, but not right now. I'm a young man. I still got some living to do down the road, but not now. Preacher came by here to tell you today may be about as far down the road as you get. You might be at the end of your road. You do not know if tomorrow will ever be yours. You need to get right with God now, because now is all that you have. Well, I got to move along here. I want to tell you now about be a saved king or queen. Y'all still here? I talked to you about Agrippa being a king. Talked to you about how he was unsaved. Now I'm suggesting that the goal of your life ought to be saved and a king or a queen. If I was there and could have got the king's ear, I would have tried to get him over in the corner somewhere and try to get him over here. Come on, king. Come on, king. King, don't you know that one of these days you will have to stand before the Lord without a crown, without a palace, without an entourage? You won't be King Agrippa, you'll just be Agrippa when you stand before judgment. And only what you do for Christ will last. I wish I could have talked to him, but he's dead and gone. So let me tell you, listen, you may have a lot going on in your life. You may be doing well. You may drive well. You look well. God has blessed you with a lot of stuff. But I promise you, this is coming back up again. You're going to need the Lord in your life. And listen, maybe you're not like the king. Maybe you don't have it like the king has it. Maybe there's nothing in your pockets but some lint. Maybe you don't have checks on the table, but you have bills on the table. I got good news for you. The Lord don't just save kings. Even the peasants are welcomed around the table. No matter how little you have, if you would just let the Lord into your life, the Lord can make your life brand new. Somebody really needs to hear that now. Isn't it good news that you don't have to have a car in order to get saved? Isn't it good to know you don't have to have church clothes in order to get saved? Isn't it good to know you don't have to pay off all of your credit card bills in order to get saved? But just as you are, if you're just willing to say, yes, Lord, the Lord will come into whatever situation you're in and save your soul on the spot. But then, lest I hold us too long, let me tell you that you don't have to choose salvation or royalty. I got tired of saying king or queen. I'm talking about royalty now. You don't have to be saved or royalty, but because God has so much power, he can make you a saved king. He can make you a saved queen. I heard the Bible say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that I can do everything through him who gives me strength. In other words, children, it may be amazing, but it is no secret what the Lord can do. If you put both of your hands in his hands, he's able to take you from the gutters of life and put you on high mountains. Can I get a witness in here? I know that David would not mind being called as a witness. But you've heard about how the Lord can take a shepherd boy and make him the king of all 12 tribes of Israel. I already told you how the Lord took Vashti and made her a queen under Xerxes. But let me tell you just a little paragraph out of my own situation. If you could have been a fly on the wall in my childhood, you would have never dreamed that I would be the pastor of Southern Baptist Church. You know, many of you are just reading the middle of the story. And it's always dangerous to read the story starting at the middle. Because after all, the characters are normally introduced in the beginning of the story. And so many formative influences are introduced in the beginning of the story. And you really can't appreciate the middle until you understand the beginning. But when you understand the beginning and appreciate the middle, then you understand why I smile so much about the future. Did you hear me? If you had been in the neighborhood that I grew up in, if you could see gang violence, not on TV, but right outside your door. If you could see people spraying graffiti all over the buildings in your neighborhood and see cops too scared to say a word. I wish you could have been in the fruit belt with me back in the 70s. I wish you could have saw the mad dogs walk up and down the streets of the fruit belt. And even the cops would drive on the perimeter unless the mad dog said you could come in. It was a terrible situation. And there are so many who never made it out. there were those that joined the Mad Dogs because they did not have a strong enough mama or a strong enough daddy to keep them out of the gang's grasp. But I didn't mean to make it this personal this morning, but when I think about what the Lord has done for me, it didn't make good sense back then. I did not know why I had to come in when my friends could stay out and play. I did not understand why I gotta read so much, gotta do homework so much, and all my other friends are out playing fumbly rumbling in the middle of the street. All of my friends are laughing at me. Mama, I wanna go out and play with my friends. But mama said, boy, go on in there and get your lesson. Didn't make no sense. But when I look back now, children, when I drive my car past friends, they're still standing on the corner. It makes money sense now. When I visit where my friends are still living, it makes so much more sense now. All I'm trying to tell you is that no matter where you start, if you put your hands in the Master's hand, the Lord, He can pick you up, He can turn you around, He can place your feet on a higher ground. Let me tell you about Jesus. He don't need anybody's permission to bless you. Did you hear me? The Lord don't need nobody to make a motion, second a motion, vote on the motion. The Lord bless who He want to bless. The Lord bless when He want to bless. The Lord bless anyway, anyhow, He want to bless. Ain't that good news? I said, ain't that good news? But one more thing about God's blessing. I'm so happy about my little edumacation. I'm so glad that the Lord allowed me to earn a real doctorate degree. When I walk across that stage in front of white professors, it wasn't just me getting a veil put around my neck, but my granddaddy was there in spirit. My great-grandfather walked with me. I'm thankful for the little stuff that God has given me. But let me tell you what's most valuable that the Lord has given me. He gives me peace. He gives me peace. He gives me peace that surpasses all understanding. If I had to choose between peace and bars, I gotta have peace. If I had to choose between peace and investment accounts, I gotta have peace. I've seen people that got so much money but have no peace and have no joy. But then there are others sitting at the bus stop in the rain singing about how good the Lord is. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I gotta leave y'all, but please make sure and very
sure that you're saved today, it would be terrible. It would be terrible if you came here today and left without Jesus in your life. You're going to need him. You're going to need him. You're going to need him. You're going to need the Lord in your life. I don't care what a great king you are. I don't care what a great queen you are. You're going to need Jesus in your life. And I got good news for you. You don't have to go looking for him. He's already found you. Can't you hear him knocking on the door of your heart? If any man would hear his voice and open the door, he will come in and sup with you and allow you to sup with him. Ain't the Lord all right? Come on and help me now. Just tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, make sure you're saved. Go on and tell them, make sure you're saved. Don't be scared. Just go on and tell them, make sure you're saved. Isn't it good? I said, isn't it good to know that you know that I'm saved? I'm saved. I'm saved in his arms. I'm saved by his grace. I'm saved by his mercy. Don't it feel good to know you're saved? Won't it put joy down in your heart? Clapping in your hands, shouting in your feet, to know I'm saved, to know I'm saved, to know I'm saved.
You can do this. You can do this, and you need to do this. If you're here today and you know you're not saved, you may be a king, you may be a queen, you might even be a church member, but if you're not saved, you are in a terrible situation. And today can be your day to say, yes, Lord. Now, I want to get this so plain that a child can understand what I'm saying. We would love to have you at Southern. We would love to have you at Southern. But the truth of the matter is, you can make it to heaven without Southern. Yes, sir. But you can't make it without Jesus. You need to make sure you got Jesus. And you need to make sure you got him today, because tomorrow is not promised. If you're not sure, because if you're saved, you ought to be sure. I've never seen anybody saved but unsure. How are you saved and unsure about your salvation? One of the blessings of being saved is blessed assurance. So if you are not sure, you're probably not saved. You had enough sense to get up and come to church today. Now have enough sense to get saved. You get no credit for just showing up. You need Jesus in your life. We would love to have you as a part of our family. I would urge you to get under the covering of somebody. It's just too much going on for you to have no covering over you. We invite you under our covering. And if you find a better covering, who's going to blame you from going from good to great? Do the best you can. But today is a dangerous day
To be walking around not assured of your salvation, it's a dangerous day to walk around and you don't have a church family that you can call your own. The door is open. We invite you to come. Would you stand? My brother, my sister, you ought to come out in this aisle and get your business fixed today. You got a lot going for you. You got a lot going for you. But if you're unsaved, you're in a terrible situation. Come on. Just come on right now. Come on, come on. That's it, man. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Make your way.
Hallelujah. Jesus
saved. That's it. That's it.
To the earth.
That's it, baby. Come on.
Jesus saved.
That's it. That's
to
it.
The earth. Jesus saved.
There's time for you even in the back. Come on. There's time to come from the balcony.
Hallelujah.
Wherever you are, just come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Wherever you are, would you come? Today's a marvelous day. My brother, my sister, come on, get your business fixed today. Come while you can.